Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God loves us. He's going forward. And He's always moving. He's always working on the behalf of His people. Why? Because He loves us all. Jesus said that when a sheep go astray, He will tend to that one sheep. He'll leave the 99 and go and tend to that one sheep. And now He's about to return. And this broadcast the Lord gave me, He dealt with me last night about. I know where He's going. I know what He's doing. He's helping people that are in the balance. They're almost, they're at the edge of the kingdom of God. And they're weak. I mean, one false move, they'll fall over into the world. Why? Because of influence. And the Lord, in this broadcast, He wanted me to make people aware of the power of influence. Jesus once told His disciples, just before He died for us, He said, "Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." These things can be traced back to a person. Where did it start? The leaven of the Pharisees. How can a person, they can love religious pride more than God? That's what the Pharisees did. When Jesus came, His own people should have, they were covenant people by birth, not by heart, but they should have recognized that He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The fishermen did, Peter did, James and John did, Andrew did. They all recognized that Jesus is Lord. And many people of the crowd got saved and healed. They got healed and restored. He taught them understanding, things that they had longed to know, things they couldn't get from the Pharisees. The Pharisees had become like vipers. John the Baptist called them vipers. That's how you win friends and influence people, isn't it? You tell the truth. You know, the man wrote a book about how to win friends and influence people. It was probably a good book. But see, when John the Baptist preached, he wasn't trying to win friends and influence people. He was trying to get them out of the danger of hell. And if they became friends, they would have been friends in God. They would have had a good relationship with God. They had a false relationship with God. He told them, he said, the Pharisees are like vipers. And they proved him right. They wanted Jesus dead. They harassed Jesus all of his ministry. Tried to trap him in his words. Always the antagonist. But what did Jesus, you know, on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And that is love. That's the love of God displayed on the cross. At his worst moments, that's what he did. That's our Savior. Now, if he'll do that for Osiris Pharisee, he's going to make sure that he give all of his people who love him, who receive salvation, he's going to help them out because that's who he is. Some people are weak. They should have studied the word more. They should have done a lot of things different, but his love is so great that before he come, he's going to help those that are in need. See, throughout the course of our lives, we make all kinds of choices. And I told my children a long time ago that everything looks good from a certain point of view, but you got to stick with the word in order to be safe. Now, in my life, and I talk a lot about victories that I've won, how the Lord taught me how to not be tempted with women. He taught me how to love. And from there, I learned everything else. I learned from love, I learned how to control anger, and I learned how to master my emotions. I learned how to not be tempted. I learned a lot of things that the enemy was using to harass my life. And then the times that I failed, God told me to do something. I did something else. Now the Lord helped me out. I would repent, and but when everything was restored, I would ask the Lord. I said, Lord, how did I fail? And then He taught me. See, repentance is not just asking God to forgive you and then He forget about it and you just go and do the best you can. No, real repentance is rejection of sin. And in order to master repentance, you have to learn some things. Sometimes you don't get it on the first go around. Sometimes some things you don't get just because the preacher preaching. Sometimes you don't get it just because you read what Jesus said. An example. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Oh, my. Now, he was doing good till he said that. I had a problem with that when I first read it. I felt like, I hope I can do that. But I wanted to serve God. I vowed, I wanted to serve God. And so I kept looking at the scripture. I faced it. Because I was hoping I wouldn't mess up. When I was challenged, I almost did. And the Lord helped me, basically, to turn the other cheek. I didn't get slapped, but I was so angry, I was about to curse a man out and fight him. I'm just being honest with you. And I was a Christian. I had just been called to the ministry. I had seen people, in 86, I saw people fall in hell. I didn't think I'd act like that till I got challenged. And at my weakest moment, the Lord spoke and said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil. And I couldn't stand by myself. The Lord spoke a word that gave me strength. I wanted to do what's right, but I didn't have any more strength. And at my weakest moment, He helped me. And on the way home, that day, I thought about what happened. I said, I don't know how you did that, Lord, but a miracle that happened. All my anger went away. I said, man, we don't need to be fighting. I'm gonna go get us a drink. We're gonna talk about it. We never exchanged blows, but it was about to happen. And he was older than I was. And I believe in my heart, I figured this out when I got older. He was testing me to see if I was really a man of God or not. Because he found out that I had been called to the ministry. I think he was just because we got along good before and after that. But he picked a fight with me, so I got upset. And I knew that. I knew what the word said. But I almost slipped. I almost messed up. I ran out of strength. The point is this. The Lord loves His people and He helps us out. Now, if you cross the line, then the Lord has to be a judge against you. He don't want to judge His people. He loves His people. He wants His people to be in the kingdom of God. He don't want us to side with the world on anything. Because our Savior is also a judge. He don't want to be your judge. He want to be your Savior. He don't want you to be on the wrong side of His. He don't want you to be out of the kingdom of God. So He'll have to judge you. See, when a righteous man sin on purpose and won't repent, then all of his righteousness will be forgotten because he rejected it. Just like when Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not the same. Sin corrupts. You can't play with sin. It's not for you. It shouldn't be in your wheelhouse. It shouldn't be in your mind. It's something you got to drive out. And false teachers teach wrong. They teach it. They don't teach all that. They don't teach the details. And they know they don't. They're being paid to teach a certain way where everybody will go along and get along. And see, Jesus taught it this way. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. The enemies will be those of your own household. I don't know why. You don't hear preachers talk about that. And see, we see our children sometimes act slick and disobedient. They're disobedient to God. They act one way around the parents and another way around their friends, another way around their brothers and sisters. But see, sin is like leaven, and it causes problems that you can't fix. And if you get into too long, you'll need deliverance. You won't even be able to get out on your own. Somebody have to pray your behind out of it. So it's dangerous. And it causes animosity against those that love you. The enemy is trying to divide you from everybody that can help you. I taught my children that. I said, don't let them do it. The good preachers you know, stick with them. Listen to them. You know, when they went to college and, you know, they got grown and gone and they're doing their careers and things, I send them YouTube videos when pastor preach when they don't come. And they like it. But you have to take time and don't forget the relationships that built you up. And so many people do that. Now, Jesus, I've been noticing some things. The Lord said to do things, and people do the opposite. He tell married people, you know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I think it was Corinthians, he said, come together. In other words, go make love. The bed is undefiled. He said, but if you, the only time you deprive each other is when you're fasting, and it must be with consent. So the devil don't tempt you. Now that, see, he's addressing the weakest people. But guess what? This is the wisdom of God. God gave married people sex. It's a blessing. It's not wrong. Satan perverts it. He turns it into something else. He tried to use it to control people. And this need to be said because Satan talked married people out of coming together. If he can do that, he can do anything. They'll rather go sleep on the couch and stay mad and not walk in forgiveness. They let that strife get in their home. See, envy, and that's not holy. Then the enemy, after that go on for a while, he start tempting them from the outside and giving them bad advice, stirring up the strife with their evil friends. And sometimes evil family. That's why you can't let people get in your marriage. Because if they're weak, and most people are. Well, I'm sorry, but most people are weak. And they'll run their mouth without prayer. You won't hear this on the TV. That's just the way it is. And God has to deal with this. But on TV, see, you know, God got some preachers everywhere. Now, I don't want to say this because it's not fair. God always has a remnant that will stand no matter what. And there are preachers who will say what I'm saying. They try to make it palatable. But I'm going to tell you something about life. Either you're going to do it or you're not. Now, when a man died and he found out he was wrong, and his religion wasn't no good, the way he thought wasn't any good, and he's falling in the pit, why didn't nobody tell me? That's the first thing coming to that. Why did I do? Why didn't nobody warn me? This is real. It's too late. And I've seen this. I've seen people falling in hell like rain. But I focused on two people when I saw it in 86. The people let the devil get away with too much. It don't make sense. It baffles me. The Lord tell you what to do and they do something else. When I wasn't in full agreement, I had enough respect for Jesus to consider what he was saying. And I just read it. I didn't agree with it. But I said, Jesus is right. He knows what he's doing. Everything he ever did worked. The way he handled the Pharisees was impressive. The way he handled the Sadducees was impressive. Every time they tried to trap him, they couldn't. But I'm looking at me. Can I turn the other cheek and honor God? And at my lowest moment, he helped me do it. So I learned something else. Don't try to rely on your own strength. It's too inadequate. So years went by, and I learned to use authority. But before I go to that point, I want to go back to the love of God. When I left work that day, I almost got in a fight. I said, Lord, I'm going to mess up. I said, I know how I am. And I almost cussed a man out, and I hadn't done that since I'd been saved. And I almost fought the man. And that's not the kind, that's not how I want to be, but I'm not strong enough. I see it now. I said, teach me to love your people, because I really want to follow Jesus. Jesus suffered and died too. He suffered and died for us. He deserved our best. That's how I prayed to God. I said, I don't want to fail. I said, every time I study the word, you tell people to do one thing, they do something else. Now, I love Adam. I'm not, you know, what Adam did, he did. But he also lived a godly life. But God said, you can eat freely off any tree in the garden. But if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And Adam, what did he do? He went and ate off of it. He could have ate off the tree of life, and he wouldn't have had appetite for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, when you receive God's word, whatever's troubling you in the world, you're going to lose appetite for it. You're going to see it for what it is. Because when you walk in love, you start seeing things as they really are. And then it won't be a struggle to avoid it. That's what happened with lust. When tempted, the Lord taught me to love the women that's trying to seduce me. Love their soul. Love them. Love them as daughters of God. And you can't lust after him. And I found out I couldn't. He showed me in a vision what to do. I'm putting it in words decades after that. I couldn't put this in words back then. I just understood it. And I understood what to do. And then he taught me not to fear falling. And that's when all of my problems with temptation had ended. See, the Lord will work with you and show you what to do. You just got to ask him to do so. You got to believe him for it. You got to want it. And I wanted it, but I didn't know how to do it. And God, he connected the dots for me. And that's what Jesus is doing now in the lives of those who want to know him. But see, mainstream preaching, now God always got a remnant of people that's solid everywhere. Some, you can't say that every preacher that's wealthy is wrong. Some of them bow their knee to Baal, but most of them, God got some of them that never did. And I've heard of things that people are doing. I know the leaven is right now. So the influence of people who have bought a lie is out there. I've heard of corruption. It got out of hand. There's a doctrine that says once saved, always saved, and all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. But future sins are not forgiven because you got to choose not to do that. Jesus said the word said in the old times, the Lord winked at sins, but now he commands us to repent. Why? Because his son died for us. We need to recognize it, and we have the power to stay out of trouble. If we fill our heart, if we become born of, after we get born again, if we become born of God, we cannot sin. If Christ is formed in us, according to Ephesians 4 and 2 Peter chapter 1, if Christ is formed in us, we will never fall. 1 John chapter 3 explains it perfectly. And it goes together with chapter 1 and 2. If you read chapter 1 and digest that, in chapter 2 and digest that, and then chapter 3, you'll understand the power of being born of God. Being born of God is not just being born again and living in a baby state, is growing up to be like Christ. You let Christ be formed in you and you can't sin, just like he couldn't sin. Why? Because he had the love of God in him. You can't have the love of God in him and lust after somebody. You can't have the love of God in you and covet other people's property. You can't have the love of God in you and want to be better than others. See, you kill the beast. The beast is lust, greed, and pride. And when Christ is formed in you, all the you have the details you need. Your eyes are in your head. Your ears are pruned to hear. You hear your father's voice and you hate the ways of darkness. When the devil speaks, it's an irritation. It's an irritation. So the Lord always has a remnant somewhere. He has pastors that's not well known. He has pastors that's well known that never bow their knee to Baal. But it's so many that just let things, you know, they just go, you know, they preach a gospel and they don't require anything of people, something that the crowd would love. Well, guess what King Saul did? He was looking at the crowd. He wanted to please the crowd. God told him what to do through the prophet, slay all the Amalekites and all of their possessions and burn it up. He killed the Amalekites and kept the best of their flock and their possessions and let the king live and brought him back. See, you can't serve God half-hearted. See, this is the beginning. What Saul did was the beginning. That was the seed that turned in. That was the leaven of Herod. Saying that's what started the leaven of Herod. You love power and prestige more than you love God. That's the leaven of Herod. That's where it started. It really started when the people wanted a king in the first place. But he's the point man. He let it happen. He became king and he should have followed God. They already had a lustful desire to have a Herod for a king. They wanted a king that they could control. The population, they wanted Jesus on their terms. That's the leaven of Herod too. When you want Jesus on your terms, I didn't want Jesus on my terms. I just wanted to make sure I could obey him. I didn't agree with everything he said at that time when I was weaker. I got saved in 83, and in the back of my mind, I'm struggling. I got to turn the other cheek. Now, I didn't have a desire to fight. One of my friends, we got into it at work. It started with horse playing, and we kind of got into a strong tussle. And it could have been a fight, but I almost hit him. And I said, that's my best friend. I can't do that. And I refrained. I turned the other cheek. In that sense. And then I prayed. I said, Lord, we're good friends. We don't need to be doing that. Help us never to do that again. You know, young men are crazy. Young men are kind of crazy. I'm no different. See, we grow from glory to glory. We make mistakes along the way. If you knew all the stuff I did wrong, you'd say, man, that guy messed up. But God worked with me. And I know how he is. God works with us. He helps us come back to balance. He's not interested in judging. He's interested in getting us back to balance. But if we do cross the line, he has to judge us. I don't know why people have such a hard time believing that. You can't have Jesus on your terms. Jesus is Jesus. You got to come up to his standards. Don't try to bring him down to yours. That's the leaven of Herod. So when I tell people the things that they let the enemy get away with too much. Now, years later, in the days that I got called to the ministry in 87, and from the fall of 87, I got called to the ministry in the spring of 87. But In the fall of 87, before I preached my first message, everywhere I would go, women would just act crazy. They would tempt. They would try to tempt me. And it didn't matter where I went, hospital, church, people's car, most of my customers was women. So it was like a firestorm. And I sought the Lord. I didn't know anybody I could trust to talk to about it because I knew that they were struggling as well. But they were standing. They wasn't falling, and I didn't fall, but they were struggling with this. And I said, Lord, I'm going to learn to master this. I'm going to learn how to deal with this. And he taught me step by step. I began to use my authority. And one day I used my authority and I didn't feel tempted. I said, that's what I need to do. Now, this is before I learned everything. And one day it happened again. And I used my authority, but I still felt tempted. I used my authority again. I rebuked it. I still felt tempted on the inside. I used my authority again. I still felt tempted. And I refused to be tempted that way. I said, Lord, help me. And the temptation was gone. I didn't feel it anymore. Sometimes I get rid of it in the prayer room. Sometimes, you know, things like that. I learned to use his strength, not mine. But I knew that the problem wasn't gone. And then one day he gave me that vision. He said, that's how I learned to. A friend of mine was upset. I talk about this sometime on the broadcast. But briefly, earlier in the day, he was upset with me. And then I had to go and do a play. I was Jesus in the play. And I said, Lord, now how do I deal with that? I want to know how to kill the problem. And he showed me a vision of earlier that day when my buddy was upset with me. And I didn't get upset. I could control my emotions. I didn't get angry. I didn't retaliate. And I had pure love for him. He said, you handle it the same way. He gave me something I could understand and relate to. This is the wisdom of God. Now, the word teaches you too, but I didn't know how to connect the dots of the word yet. I found them much later. How the word says to handle it. But see, handle things. But a visual is strong. It's something you can receive right now and work with. And then I knew to love the girls, to love the women, to love them. Even though they were trying to do me wrong or do wrong by me, you know. Some time went by and I still felt tempted. I said, something else is wrong. Lord, what is it? I don't know what it is. But I was determined. I said, by faith, I'm going to learn this. And then he taught him one day. He said, don't fear falling. And that did. I saw it when he spoke it. See, the Lord can speak a phrase, but you understand volumes. He said, don't fear falling. Fear attaches you to the world. It happened again in business. I used to fear that I wouldn't make enough money. I didn't realize it, but I was worried about I wouldn't stop working until I made a certain amount. And I had a fear attachment, and it hindered me. See, these kind of details people don't know about. Some things you're not going to learn just by studying. You have to ask the Lord to reveal it to you. We need revelation. This is why the devil get away with too much. And you have to decide, I'm going to do everything God's way. Because all of God's knowledge works together. If you lack an element that you don't understand, the enemy will use it against you. See, when people get out of, when they fall, or if they're weak, it's because of what they don't understand. And the Lord gave me a vision in 1990 saying, let not my people lack knowledge. And I knew what to do. Now, as we go forward in life, you have to stick with the living love of God. Everything that he taught me with visions and dreams and conversation, it's in the Word. Guess where it is? If you read Romans chapter 7, that shows you what the firestorm is like. But if you go on, if you turn the page and read chapter 8, or if you finish reading chapter 8, it teaches you about life in the Spirit. And if you go on to and read in 1 John, it teaches you how to love. Then you'll see the world for what it is. You know it for what it is. You know how to reject it. And you become born of God. Then you can't sin. You'll be like Jesus. And your prayers are like Jesus. And your heart's desires is of Jesus. On his terms, not yours. So God is looking for people who will follow him and reject Satan. See, he's about to return. He told me, he said, the kind of people that's going to be raptured, they're going to be perfect like Adam. But if they were in Adam's position, they would not choose to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The kind of people that he's going to leave behind are people that will eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if they were in a perfected state. And then sinners, you know, they're not going to get raptured. But the Christian people who God take with him are those that will not cross the line. And they ask the Lord to keep them safe, and they do what God say do. They're not slick and they're not disobedient. And so the Lord is working with people, warning people. But see, the influence of mainstream churches, they become lukewarm. So lukewarm people are leaven, and leaven begets leaven, while sincerity begets sincerity. Don't forget these things, because God loves